I'm an intellectual. I'm an intellectual. I'm an intellectual. Respect you. No problem. I got all these blessings just to give it to others anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My hand's always open. For real. Hey. 33 years, I gave that to the game. 33 mil, I say that for the rain. 500 weeks, I fill the charts with my pain.
Yo, 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 what's going on, people? Finally give you niggas the space you need. It's your boy, Kim. Welcome back to the Fly Young Intellectual Podcast, episode 30. Brought a few W's to the six. Baby mama, how y'all been doing? Who she is. Baby Wayne and Tez responsible for this shit. Hope y'all been doing better. The last time we spoke, other times I questioned it. We were coming off of that Kobe thing. Rest in peace of Kobe, Gigi, everybody on that flight. Rest in peace, Mr. Ekpe. I mean, it's a lot of rest in peace. So we got to celebrate life. We got to make sure that we're taking care of each other while we're here. 2020 has been one of those years, man. Definitely emotionally taxing. But we got to keep it moving. So I hope everybody's doing good. Welcome back once again. Today's podcast, we're going to be talking a little bit about controlling the narrative. That's the topic of today, controlling the narrative. And when we speak about controlling the narrative, I really want to take it from the point of view as it's been used, this new phrase, controlling the narrative, especially since social media's birth, since the boom of the internet. People are making sure that they tell their stories. They tell their stories with their point of view. They're telling their stories with their intention. They don't want the major media companies to skew it and spin it how they want and do what they need to do for ratings and all that kind of stuff. So people are taking it into their own hands to be their own news reporter. There are more pros than cons with that, I do believe. But at the same time, with every pro comes cons. So we're going to get into some of it. We're going to use some examples and we're going to kind of dissect this thing, cuz it's going across so many platforms now, and it's going across so many different avenues, and a lot of the times it gets confusing because it really becomes a battle of the big media companies against the average man telling their own story. The big media companies are now getting angry at the average man or the superstar or whoever it is telling their own story, because now it's kind of taking the power away from the major media. And we already know in this game, major media controls a good percentage of everything. If you look at the Comcast of the world, the Sony's of the world, the Walt Disney's of the world, if you look at all the companies that come underneath these major media platforms, I mean, they control almost everything. With that being said, there are a lot of, obviously, there's big, big bucks involved. Obviously, there is different ulterior motives involved. You know, and at the end of the day, sometimes, especially the news being reported, it's not being reported with just the intent of reporting or just the intent of informing. There's something bigger behind it. And we've been known this. This is not anything new, you know what I'm saying, for the average person who's just kind of sorta informed or kind of sorta woke, as we like to say, right? So One of the main stories lately that has really shown me, you know, the power of controlling the narrative and how it affects a lot of people is the Dwayne Wade and his son / daughter story. Now, if you're not, you know, kind of locked into the world, I guess I'll give you a little backstory. Dwayne Wade, soon to be Hall of Fame, Miami Heat, you know, legend from Chicago, came up from, you know, Chicago inner city, became a superstar in basketball, went to Marquette, went to the NBA, won a few championships with Shaq, LeBron, Chris Bosh. He has a family. He was married, got divorced, then married to Gabrielle Union, who is his current wife. He has two sons, I believe. He has two sons who were born sons, who were born male. His oldest son, I think, is... he's in like 11th or 12th grade now. He's becoming a basketball player. Not becoming, he is a basketball player. He's you know, going through his own path. Him and LeBron's son play on the same basketball team, Sierra Canyon. Then there's the younger son who has become the face at 12 years old of transsexuals. The son went to his parents, according to Dwayne Wade, and said, "Hey, man, I identify as a woman. I don't think I'm a boy." So he had this conversation with his parents. And, of course, with them being a mega star family, we already know this is going to be big news, right? So Dwayne Wade, basically, as far as I've seen, I haven't seen, outside of his personal social media, where he has the second son who now identifies as Zaya, speaking on his platform. Dwayne Wade himself has been doing, I guess, we could call it a press run. A press run getting in front of the narrative itself. And making sure that he is speaking his truth, he's speaking his direct assessment of the situation coming straight from him, his family, and Zaya. Of course, it's a topic very touchy. I took a long time to even speak on it because I'm not gonna lie, I'm not the most educated on the LGBTQ, there are a lot of letters now in that. I'm not the most educated on that. I know I'm educated enough to say, hey, man, I will not judge anybody. I'm not God. Whatever you do, it's on you. We all have our crosses to bear in whatever form, sexuality, stress, whatever. Being black, right? We all have our different stresses. We all have our different crosses to bear. And me, I know myself, I'm not going to go and worry about who this guy is having sex with, who this lady is doing. Like, that's not my business. I got enough on my plate. Now, with that being said, something like this is so public. You know, I'm on social media and I'm seeing the feedback that it's getting. You know, of course, on one hand, the LGBTQ community is, you know, for the most part, because I have seen people who are a part of that community who have disagreed, not with what the child wants to do, but putting a 12-year-old on the front street of this kind of fight. He's 12. That's very young. I know at me at 12, shoot, all I wanted to do was probably, man, play video games, play sports. And maybe I was just starting to really get into girls. So, you know, that preteen age, you're starting to come within yourself and starting to figure some stuff out. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, 12, you can't comprehend a lot. Especially with children these days. I ain't going to lie. Children these days, man, it just seems like even if they are still children and they should still be treated as so, they process at a probably a higher level than we did at that age. You know, they're coming out the womb, you know, it seems with personality. It seems with almost seeming like understanding of who they are. And I don't know what we attribute that to, honestly. But I guess we attribute it to progressive times, technology. And I guess, hey, the next generation just is supposed to be better than we are. So anyway, back to this topic. So Dwayne Wade is on a press run, essentially getting in front of it. Hey, this is what me and my family are doing. This is what we are confirming. This is what, before y'all go and run off with it, before the TMZs of the world run off with it and make it messy, and then we have to go and clean it up on the back end, we're going to tell you how we feel and where we stand on the front end. Something like that, is to me, is considered controlling the narrative. It is about telling your story with your point of view. And it's hard because something like that, you put yourself, you put yourself at the mercy of the jury of public perception and public opinion. And of course, they are already mega stars. So your life is already public. They're not blessed to be able to walk around and not be harassed or, like, you know, say something and then not be taken out of context. Nah, if he or Gabrielle Union says something, more than likely, you know, fair or not fair, is going to be taken in some type of context. Out of context or in context, it's going to be taken and it's going to be blown up. It bothered me to see how many people blasted Dwayne Wade. And this is where it took me so long to speak on it, because I agree on one hand, at 12 years old, Zaya shouldn't have to bear that kind of weight. But at the same time, you are a part of a public family. So as parents, what is Dwayne Wade supposed to do? Beat him into submission and say, no, you're a boy. Or come out and say, we're working through it, this is a lie, you know, or, you know, we're, you know, don't believe what you're hearing, it's not true. Or don't support your son at all, right? And be completely opposite to that and stand on it and be on the opposite side and force your son to maybe hate himself, hate you. It's, the whole thing is messy. But one thing I can say is, as someone who doesn't have kids but hopes to have kids one day, and who has parents, and who was a kid, the one thing as a child that you know that you want is your parents in your corner. You want to be able to go to them and have a conversation. You want to be able to tell them your truth. Now, yes, as a parent, it is your job to admonish. It is your job to correct. It is your job to guide. But never is it your job to not listen. And I think he's getting a bad rap because, honestly, he's doing what most of us wanted our parents to do in the first place, which is just listen. You know, a lot of us come from families and communities where we couldn't speak on certain things. Even if it's not as deep as I don't identify as a guy or something like that. I don't care how simple or how irrelevant it may seem, you would want to be able to sit down with your parents and have a conversation. So I praise Dwayne Wade for that, because I don't think it's as easy of a conversation as people think it is. Because, of course, people are looking at his character and people are calling him, you know, oh, he's a closet gay himself, so of course this is how he feels. I don't think it's that easy. Because once again, it's a cross that they have to bear. It's not, yes, it's popular, it seems, it's more popular, it's more in, but at the same time, there's gonna be more prosecution and more backlash, as we've seen, than there is gonna be praise and adoration. To me, that's how I feel. Y'all could disagree with me if you want. I'm always open to disagreement and on a conversation. But let's be honest. That kid is going to get teased. That kid is going to get, you know, jokes. You know, the internet is brutal. Memes are going to be made. So just as much praise as he's going to get from the LGBTQ community, he's going to get just as much flack. So why not jump in front of the narrative and control it as a parent? Because that's all they could do at this point. It was going to be public knowledge anyway. So control the narrative. Another person who I have issue with, but they do maybe too good of a job of controlling their own narrative, is LeBron James. And y'all know how I feel about LeBron. He plays for my team now, so I've been doing my best to have a working relationship with him. And if he brings me a championship with the Lakers, hey man, I appreciate it. We need it. It's been a while. But one thing with LeBron that has either rub me the wrong way or I've proclaimed and heralded is that he's not letting you jump in front of a story before him and his team does. Rich Paul and all them boys that he has around him, his friends that he came up with, that he's built this empire with, they literally every day find ways to control the narrative. Whether it is creating a platform where, like that barbershop little thing that he has where he brings in people and they discuss stuff themselves. Or it's just him saying, hey man, I'm going to Miami. Right? Which he took big shit for. Shit, I give him big shit for it. But at the same time, he empowered a whole generation. And I can't even like shit on him for that. Because now the power literally lays in the hands of the athletes, especially in the NBA. But it's spreading across all platforms now. And I would honestly have to say that's because of him. Now, once again, he came up in a time where he was blessed to be able to have social media at his disposal. He was, you know, He's been in magazines and stuff since he was 16 years old. So he's like the old head now, but he came up and maximize the shit out of how to control your own narrative. And he really has the blueprint, right? Building a team and y'all making these different outlets and more than an athlete and all these kind of stuff where it's like, hey, I'm getting this kind of flack in real time. I'm literally like taking the energy and spinning it right back in a positive way to protect my image and to inspire the next generation. That's huge. And even if I have issues with LeBron in between those lines, those 94 feet sometimes and how he handled it as a basketball player, when it comes to off the court, he's arguably the most perfect athlete we've ever come across. No legal issues, no nothing too flagrant. And even when he says something kind of flagrant, let's say the, what was it? That China relations conversation that was had. Y'all remember? And he essentially is saying like, hey man, you know, China was basically like waiting, you know, they're going through this thing where, you know, their government and how they run things over there, it's dictatorship like, right? And he said some things to basically protect his investments and his business relationships. You know, and the I believe it was like the Rockets owner had said something, and you know, like LeBron came out and it didn't look what he said in the moment. He got some flack for it because it seemed like he was being anti-Chinese people and pro-green dollar. And even then, when I didn't agree with it, he controls his narrative so much and has become such a global icon and such a mega, almost bulletproof. Shoot, it was gone by a few days. I'll give it like a week. It was talked about maybe a week. All of this because you are speaking up for yourself. All of this for because you're not letting the Murdochs of the world and their ulterior motives control your narrative. It is now, how do you want to be remembered? I'm going to let you know how I want to be remembered. And I'm going to give you enough sound bites. I'm going to give you enough heads up. I'm going to give you enough media presence of me speaking on everything that I want to speak about. And then y'all could go from there. But y'all are not going to come and take my story, spin it how you want, and then leave me with having to defend it on the back end. And that's power. There's power in that. Because we all want to control our own narrative. We all want to be able to say how we feel. We all want to be able to identify ourselves to whoever. Because perception is a powerful thing. And why should I leave it just to public perception and to the power of the media? Why not just let you know how I feel and live with the results? That's how I feel on it, man. Today's not going to be a long episode at all. Because these are just kind of filler episodes. Because we got Black men's mental health, Black women's mental health coming up. And I appreciate y'all patience. But let's make sure that we're controlling our own narratives. Let's use the tools that we have at our disposal that our parents didn't have, that their parents didn't have. Let's make sure that we are being remembered and we're being deliberate about what it is that we want to leave in this earth and leave our mark. You feel me? I'll talk to y'all later, man. Flying Intellectual Podcast. Peace.
Yo, man, thanks for tuning into my podcast. Please don't forget to review, rate, and share. That would help me out a lot, and it helps get the platform bigger and better. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at FlyYoungIntellectual, at FlyYoungIntellectual. Hit me on Twitter, at Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R underscore F-Y-I. Connect with me, man. 2020, we're doing bigger and better things. If you really like the platform, tell somebody about it, man. Until next time, peace.